So today we have with us Stephanie Keller, who is the clinic manager at the Neighbor Care school-based clinic at Vashon High School, as well as Anna Waldman, who is the mental health therapist there at Vashon High School through Neighbor Care as well. So welcome. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, we're going to start off by just asking you, I was looking at the Neighbor Care websites and I noticed that there was a lot of school-based clinics in Seattle, and then there was Vashon. And I was curious to know, and you guys might not know the full answer for this, but how we ended up having a Neighbor Care school-based center on Vashon.
Yeah, this is Stephanie. I can answer a little bit of that question. So when the Best Start for Kids levy came open, Neighbor Care was looking at where would be, you know, how we could use that funds and open another school-based clinic. And they were looking in Seattle sites too. But they knew from the Vashon primary care that there was a real demand here for services. And so they started looking at Vashon and thinking this would be a really good fit, right? And also complementary to the primary care clinic in that there's a high demand and limited access. So we were hoping to expand access for 18 and under kids for acute needs, you know, ear infections, things like that that come up daily and that you need to get your kid in that day for appointments. And then also the mental health stats were compelling to open up a school-based health clinic. Some of the stats they used to get the grant were things like the high suicide rate on, mm-hmm. on Vashon. And again, the access problem was just not enough mental health care providers here on the island.
That is so crazy to me that there are not enough mental health care providers. As a mental health therapist, you know, I jokingly say that Vashon is a therapist-rich environment. But apparently there's not enough of us actually practicing on the island to be able to support the need that's here.
No,
I know for elementary age kids, it's hard to find mm-hmm. a therapist.
Oh, that's what I think it was for the younger kids, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now we have a mental health therapist at Chautauqua who's 50%, and we could easily probably expand those services there and be full. We have two mental health therapists at the middle school, one who's doing ESPERT, mm-hmm. which is brief, you know, interventional treatment.
So you can tell us what that is.
I'm wondering if Anna knows the exact acronym for ESPERT.
I don't know if I do know it. It's short.
Be brief.
No, brief intervention.
I think
and
it's screening to brief intervention and treatment.
There you go. Yes. Yep.
That makes sense. Because if they don't have a lot of time, they...
Yeah, and so there's a battery of screening tests that Holly Rowland, who's our therapist there, does to kind of mm-hmm. direct what services are going to be the best fit for different kids.
And a lot of times, kids don't actually need full mental health treatment for a year or 2 years. They really can just do this brief treatment that and gives them some tools to use for what's going on. And then sometimes that does also refer to longer treatment. And then we also have Marcy Napoli. So she's our Chautauqua therapist, and she's 50% at McMurray, and she's doing traditional mental health therapy there.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is.
And then Anna Waldman at the high school. And we have one more therapist there, Maite Imez. And which gives us 1.0 FTE at the high school.
That's fantastic. That's just increasing the ability and the scope, mm-hmm. the ability to treat and the scope of treatment for kids who really need it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And I think convenience too, right?
Oh,
so
sure.
We try to pull from an elective class, just being able to go during the school day, not have your parents rely on your parents to get you to appointments. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when kids are over 13 too, they can come and sign themselves up for confidential mental health therapy. And I think that is an easy way to keep confidentiality.
Yes.
And
do you feel like the access to it is more, are people accessing it more for the mental health or more for the medical side of things?
I would say it's about 50-50, mm-hmm. honestly. I mean, if we had more mental health providers, we could. But as far as like, if we look at stats and visits, our medical visits are much higher than our mental health visits. We see about 10 kids a day for medical visits. And mental health is supposed to see 5 a day.
Wow.
Is that just at the high school?
That's just at the high school, okay, right. So every provider sees 5 kids a day.
Got it.
Every mental health provider. In addition, so you have, you're the manager, mm-hmm. and Stephanie is the manager, and then we have Anna, who are all the mental health therapists that you talked about, and mm-hmm. then who else is in the clinic and what other services are there?
Yeah. So we have Megan Bergeron. She's an ARMP, and she's one of our medical providers. as well as Hannah Harper, who's also an ARNP, and she works at the primary care as well. She's a Spanish-speaking provider, which is great.
Wonderful.
Yes. And then we have dental services. So we have a dentist and a DA, and our DA is also Spanish-speaking. And we do that one day a week. On Tuesdays, we do dental services, and there's a really high need for that. We are the only provider on the island who takes Medicaid, Apple Health. So we might be expanding those services as well. And then we have a health educator, Sarah Bernard, and she primarily does a lot of our outreach activities. She does pre-appointments for anyone interested in reproductive health. So she's really the person who goes and meets with them for an hour and talks about all the different options before meeting with the medical provider and choosing the contraceptive method.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Is she full-time or?
She's 50%.
50%.
Yeah.
That is great because I worked at the ECAP program and realized how limited the dental health services were, and it is a huge problem. So is part of the access that it's hard for students to get off the island if they need something because we live on an island. Mm-hmm. So is that,
that's part
can
of
you
the
speak
problem.
To that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think some people can't afford a ferry ride, right? That's very limiting. Some have parents who work during the day, and so just getting them off island for appointments is a challenge. So I think the parents who work love our services, right? Because they can just send their kids
one-stop shopping.
Yeah.
The school day. They're thankful for it.
Yeah, because if you went off the island to go to a pediatrician appointment, it would be half a day.
Yeah, and that's something that school-based health clinics in general, like if you look nationally, they do claim that they increase seat time. So actually, it seems like maybe you're missing more school, but you're actually decreasing the time that you're out of your seat.
Well, yes, and if you're seeking treatment for an illness or an injury earlier, it means you're not staying at home struggling through that injury or illness. You're actually getting treatment earlier, which means you're healthier when you're in class, which, you know, I'm sure there's all different types of evidence that indicates better outcomes when there are school-based health services available.
Yes, because a lot of things you don't need to miss school for. An ear infection, pink eye, you know, all of these things.
Yeah.
These can be easily treated and you can go right back to class.
Right, right.
Much to some kids' dismay.
Exactly.
They're like, are you sure you don't need to call my parents? I need to go home. I'm like, you don't have a fever and you're not puking, you're staying here.
Yeah.
And that's something we work with a school nurse on. So a lot of people ask, what's the difference between us and a school nurse? And in some ways, the school nurse does triage for us. Like, not everything needs a medical appointment. So kids come in, oh, I have cramps. Go see the school nurse.
I need a Band-Aid.
Go see the school nurse, right? Something hurts. I need to lay down. Go see the school nurse. And a lot of times then she determines, like, yes, actually, I would like you to look at this ankle. It looks a little swollen. So we work really closely with our school nurses.
Right. Well, and we've got a couple that I know of that are great. Ann Zapp and Sarah Day are just fantastic people. I love seeing them work in the middle school and the elementary school. They're so much fun to be around. They're just great people anyway. So I'm glad to hear that partnership is happening between.
It's awesome, really. And, you know, for Ann, I think when we were first setting up the school-based health clinic, how we are different than the clinics in Seattle is the elementary school has a clinic on site. The middle schools have a clinic on site. So we're the first one to try to serve three different schools in one location. And part of the reason for that was we just didn't have a large enough student population to justify. We've got 1,500 kids total, whereas Roosevelt has 2,000 kids high school, right? So we started the model of McMurray students can cross campus for appointments with parents' permission. High schoolers can obviously come in on their own, but Chautauqua kids do need their parents to take them. And so we save appointments, 8 a.m. and 3 o'clock appointments for them. And that's going pretty well so far.
Nice.
There could be in the future some, you know, maybe we have a health aid, bring kids over. I don't, you know, we want to make sure the Chautauqua kids can get in
can
as well.
Get access. Yeah. And I know that one thing that seems to be pretty cool, and you guys can clarify this, it's available to all kids, even homeschooled or private school, et cetera.
Yes.
Is that the case in all home-based or just ours?
That's just
ours. I mean, school-based, sorry.
Yeah, just ours. And we can thank the Vashon Island School District for that because they were totally open. Some of the other schools were like, no, we will not open our campuses to kids who are not enrolled in the school district. And when we were, you know, in discussion with Michael Saltzman, and he was like, absolutely, of course we would serve
all the kids on the island. From that.
Right?
That's really cool.
Yeah, we do have a lot of kids who go to the Harbor School or homeschool kids who come in and use the clinic. And then mostly when people come in, they're like, this is so amazing. How right. do I tell all my friends?
Right. So Anna, what is different with the school counselor versus what you guys have to offer?
Yeah, that's a great question. So our school counselors at the high school are, they're actually really skilled counselors in terms of meeting with kids, handling kind of crisis situations, all that. But I think what they were finding is that they're, their time was just getting really crunched with kind of handling mental health needs, and they're, you know, they have a lot of other responsibilities that have to do with scheduling and 504 plans and just kind of helping kids in the academic realm.
College so, stuff.
Yeah, probably. College prep, SATs, all that stuff they take on. So I think having me there has really freed up their time, and they still certainly do take on some kind of mental health emergency situations, but it's really allowed them to focus on like kind of their primary purpose at the school, which is really more academic counseling. And I feel like our clinic works really well and really closely with them to collaborate and with the referrals and just offering as much as we can, kind of wrapping around services for kids as much as possible.
Yeah, nice.
It's been pretty successful, I think.
Nice. There is a real pretty clear delineation between school counseling and other types of mental health counseling, too. Yeah. And I mean, I worked in school in the K-12 system for years and years, and one of my, I want to say probably one of my biggest complaints as somebody who was working in administration was that there weren't enough direct services available in the schools that was handling the sort of emotional and mental health needs of kids. And they would go into the counseling center expecting that those needs would be met.
Right.
And it was very much sort of a triage kind of, you know, are you bleeding? Are you, do you have thoughts of suicide? All right, then let's schedule next week on Thursday. Right. You can come in for 15 minutes and we can talk about this problem that you're having. That's the biggest thing in your life, but I don't have time for in this moment. And I'm saying that it sounds like there's some judgment around that, but the reality is school counselors have so much on their plate.
Yes, they do.
That doesn't involve that kind of crisis kind of stuff where they can just drop everything and exactly. attend to a student's emotional needs.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, Paul and Tara, the school counselors, I mean, they each serve half of the high school.
Right.
So that's a huge caseload for them to, you know, they couldn't possibly meet individually with all the kids that need it. Although certainly they are competent to do that. They're, you know, wonderful with kids. But yeah, it's just too much for two people.
Yeah.
Well, and I know, you know, as a school counselor myself who worked in elementary school, we did a brief therapy model. We didn't have the ability to spend an hour or even a half hour with an individual student. So do you do a full session?
Oh yeah, that's a good question. So it does look a little different at the school-based clinic. Just how it works with scheduling is a bit different than an outpatient clinic. Typically, since we're pulling kids from class, and Stephanie can tell you, it's definitely a bit of a juggle scheduling wise to kind of find the right class and make sure they're not missing lunch. And it ends up being that typically I see kids 35 to 45 minute sessions, which seems like it's been working. I wasn't used to that at first, coming from kind of an outpatient clinic setting. I was really used to the 50 minute hour. But I actually think it works pretty well, and it's less disruptive to their school day if you can kind of fit them into just missing one class period. And I think for some kids, that's actually a really appropriate amount of time to talk.
Yeah.
For a teenager, a lot of times that's really what they need, it feels like. And of course, some kids I do see for more like an hour, just depending on the situation. So typically I've been seeing kids once a week for the first 6 to 8 sessions, and then trying to kind of stagger them a little bit more to serve as many kids as possible. But again, that's case by case. You know, if someone really needs once a week, we make sure that happens. You know, it's always a juggling act of like how much to try to see each kid once a week versus serving the most possible.
And from my perspective, 35 minutes sounds like a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It kind of depends where you're coming
from.
Wow.
Sure. Well, and there's a difference there. So I see a lot of middle school kids. And at about the 30 minute mark, I'm like, okay, so you've given me about all you're going to give me. So you know, we got another 20 minutes here, dude. What are we going to, we're going to play magic? Let's play magic. You know, what are we going to do, you know, to sort of increase the bonding and keep the exchange right. going. But at the same time, there's sort of a, they turn into pumpkins, at least the middle school kids do, mm-hmm. after about 30 minutes for a lot of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Not always true, but
the elementary school therapist, Marcy Napoli, would say the same thing. I think she probably does 30 minutes max. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. with the kids. Yeah.
So can you guys speak a little bit to confidentiality in your clinic? And mm-hmm. also, I'd be curious to know if students that come in for medical stuff are needing that confidentiality just speak to confidentiality. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. So we follow Washington state laws on confidentiality, which is, you know, for mental health over 13, kids can come seek confidential mental health therapy so they can sign themselves up. And at any age, kids can come seek reproductive health confidentially. Anything else that's under the medical umbrella, we always involve parents. So if a kid, high schooler, walks in their own for a UTI, let's say, that's not sexually related, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then we would always call parents, say, hey, we just tested for a UTI. They tested positive. We're recommending antibiotics. If you want them, you can go pick them up at the pharmacy. So we always, always loop in parents for the medical.
And if that is, if they're over 13, you do as well?
If they're over 13, for anything medical, we loop them in.
Okay. Right. And is that a law or is that?
That is the law, yeah. Because the only thing kids can seek confidential treatment is for reproductive health or mental health. Anything else parents have to be involved in.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I think another misnomer when we were first opening up was, you know, that we could vaccinate kids without parents' consent. We absolutely can't.
Yeah.
That is under the medical umbrella. So any vaccine, even if kids come in are interested themselves in some, we actually have to get a signature signed for every single vaccine consented to by
you
parents.
You hear that.
Same
loud
for,
and clear.
Same for fluoride and the dental and all that.
Awesome. All of the things. Parental permission. Exactly.
And we are, and just as an aside, like we're not going to get into a vaccination debate on this radio show.
Well, at least not in this interview. Yeah, there may be more later.
We're not going there. But yeah, that's good to know. So vaccinations, you would get a parent.
Yes, under the medical umbrella. So, and I think, you know, parents were concerned too, like, wow, my kids can just come in without me. And no, for medical, we're always, always looping them in. And then the confidential piece, so the mental health, yes, kids often come in and sign themselves up. I would say Anna does a really good job at some point, looping parents in. Mm-hmm. I think we have pretty few actual, truly confidential mental
right
health
now, very
kids.
Few on my case load.
So, like, in other words, even if they have the, confidentiality, there's a way to sort of mm-hmm. encourage them to share with their parents that they're doing this.
Most often what I do is encourage kids to sign a partial release of information, which just means I have permission to let the parents know they're coming to see me and give kind of a broad overview of what we're working on. But, you know, many teenagers want a lot of privacy from their parents, which is pretty mm-hmm. normal. And it's important to respect that to have effective therapy. I'm sure you have similar in your work.
Oh yeah, all the time. One of the big differences is for me, for most of the kids that I see, the resources flow through the parents. So I have to have some exchange with them because somebody's paying the bill and they got, you know, they're getting the invoice that says this is when your kid came to see me. So there's not a whole lot of secrecy there.
It's a little different. Yeah.
That's a good point. So the way school-based health clinics too is we actually turn off billing. So a parent, so for any service, including medical, what we call it is a no-cost to you clinic. So if you have insurance, we will bill it. It helps us help kids who don't have insurance.
Right.
But we never send a bill home. So you might get an explanation of benefits that say, hey, your kid came in for a vaccine and you owe $80. But NeighborCare actually doesn't send home a bill. And we do that for the confidential reasons. We'll do it for two reasons. One is that we actually have, you know, funding to mm-hmm.
yeah.
support, grant funding, which is how I think medicine should work.
Yeah,
government-subsidized healthcare. And then we just turn it off so that the confidential kids, they would never get a bill from us, right?
That is really cool. So the medical side of things, mm-hmm. do students also want that to be private, or if they're coming in for like I don't know, what would be a common like ailment that they would come in for?
That's not confidential or
yeah.
That, yeah. Probably like ear infection. You know, it just depends on the season.
Yeah.
Right. Strap, like once flu season comes, there'll be a ton of people coming in for flu. Fortunately, there's not a whole lot we can do for that. Strep tests. Yeah. We're always doing strep tests mm-hmm. when it's strep throat season. Recently we just did a ton of vaccines. We did a ton of sports physicals at the beginning of the year.
Makes sense.
So really primary care medicine. I mean, we see everything, I would say we see a higher number of acute stuff, meaning, you know, you need that same day appointment. We also partner with a primary care clinic. So a lot of the other school-based health clinics don't see like broken bones. We'll actually see those often and then refer them over to the primary care for an x-ray.
Sure.
And then we can coordinate care that way. We do referrals to specialty care all the time. So yeah, we're really primary care medicine inside a high school.
Neat.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So one question I have is, how did you guys figure out where this clinic would be and how to create a private space within the high school?
So the neighbor care team, our facilities team, and Vashon School District worked together to identify a space. We basically told the school district we need about 500 square feet. So wherever you're going to give that to, we can make work. Some of the clinics at the other high schools are very small. I mean, they're the size of this room we're in right now, and we make it work. We really just need access to water, right, for our lab, because we do full lab services there too. And for our dental, we need access to water. But yeah, so they identified the room that was a teacher's classroom at the high school that we transformed into a clinic space with enough room for mental health therapists, a medical provider, a full lab, and a room for a health educator and dental services.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That space is cool.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. You've seen the space, Peggy.
And one of the things I really like about it is that it is in the high school, but it's sort of separate.
We have our own entrance. Yeah. And I think that was lessons learned from Seattle schools, because some of them don't feel
that way. You got to run
way.
The gauntlet to go see your doctor.
Yeah. And you have to pass administration. I mean, we were in temporary space when we first started by the principal's office. You know, that was a little awkward walking across the hallway with pee in your hand, right? So, it was all fine. And we made it work. And it was good for us to really have a relationship with, I think, everyone. So they knew what we were doing. Like, we weren't just off in some corner. What's neighbor care doing? Mm-hmm. So it's good to be in the temporary space. It's been great to have our own space in the clinic. And the kids are coming. We're busy.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
So cool.
So if parents are interested in getting more information, mm-hmm. I mean, you guys have a health educator, so I'm assuming the kids know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And my concern right now is for parents who may be listening to the show, how can they get more information about what's going on in the clinic or ways to access
services? Yeah, they can call me. Should I say my number?
Yeah,
206-548-7550. I'm the only one there answering the phones, making appointments. We're also on the Vashon School District site under, I believe it's Health Services, and our registration form is there. So you can do it online, register your child, and then I call everyone who sends in a registration form and just say, hey, thanks for signing up. What services are you interested in? They can talk to the school nurses too. I think that's how we get a lot of our referrals, is from the school nurses who say your kid's here with a twisted ankle, maybe you should take them to the school-based health clinic. Those are the best ways.
And once you sign up, like, because my daughter went in for a cough, is she now in that?
She's in.
Okay.
So she could come in on her own, right? Wait, how old is your daughter?
She's 9.
No, never mind. No. You would always bring her in. I couldn't remember if she was at the high school. All right. So once parents get signed up, then kids do start to come in on their own, which is great too, to see kids really like take ownership of their health care. And some parents really like that. And then some parents, I say, like, you know your kid. You know if they're ready to come to a sports physical on their own. And some are not middle schoolers. No, they need their parents there
of
still.
Course.
And right.
Yeah. So Anna, to get access to you, it would be through Stephanie as well.
Yes. I do get referrals from the school counselors, and some students self-refer. They just walk into our clinic, or they know me kind of through friends or whatever. If a parent is seeking services for their child, they can call Stephanie and she can get them set up. I think right now we have a very short wait list, but we've been able to kind of move people through the wait list pretty quickly and efficiently.
Nice. Stephanie, what was that number again?
Oh, 206-548-7550. We're also on the neighborcare.org website, so you can look under Vashon when you search for clinics.
Got it.
And all the information's on there as well.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And we are wondering, do you have a tip for just parents, maybe general health or supporting mental health or whatever?
Sure. Well, my parenting tip is kind of a really basic one, but one that I think is worth mentioning, especially for parents of teenagers, which is don't underestimate the power of positive attention for your child. I think especially for adolescents, we sometimes forget. They don't seek out our positive attention the way little kids do. They're not, look at me, look what I did. They're, you know, seeking the praise, but they still really need it. And it's really one of the best ways to build a healthy relationship with your kid is to really notice the positive things they're doing and speak it out to them. Some people say it should be a 5-to-1 ratio of every time you say something negative or nagging to your child, you should say something positive about what they're doing right. But it really, I think we see that it really helps parents have that trusting, loving relationship with their kid if they can do that.
That is a great tip. What is something you guys like about this island? What do you like to do, or a little hidden tip that, like, I saw Stephanie walking in the woods, something that you like to do on Bassham?
So myself, my husband, and I have a 6-year-old son. We moved here 2 years ago. And a big reason why we moved here is we always say the Kellers like to hike. Even though my son will be like, I don't like to. I'm like, no, the Kellers like to hike. So we go on walks with our two Great Pyrenees. We go to Maury Marine Park. We go to Shingle Mill Creek. I mean, we all of the beautiful hiking, outdoor walking trails. We look for fairy houses when we're doing it. Aww. So yeah, that is our favorite thing to do on Vashon.
Wonderful. Nice. Mm-hmm.
You so mine because we love the Judd Creek Trail. But the other thing we do a lot is the Recess Lab climbing wall. Uh-huh. On the weekends. They have an open climb.
Yeah.
And it's just a great, especially in the winter, an indoor spot to go play and get some energy out. That's a lot of fun.
Fantastic.
Thank you for coming in and talking to us. I think that the Neighbor Care Clinic is amazing, and we're so lucky to have it.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.